Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this morning's service led by our friend Alan Golphin, who we extend a very warm welcome to. The notices are as printed on our sheet, so would you please join with me in saying the prayer for today at the top of the notice sheet. Let us pray. We gather for worship once again, with hope and expectation in our hearts, and a willingness and joy to be in God's house to worship and to praise Him. Amen. We will start our service singing our introit hymn number 24. Come, now is the time to worship.
Good morning. And thank you for your warm welcome, Joy. It is good to be here to worship our Lord again, even with the restricted guidelines which we're having to live under these days. But we can still worship through our hearts. Our Lord knows what's in our hearts. My theme for the service this morning is based on being prepared. It's wonderful to see we have some youngsters with us today, not as many as some weeks, but it's just wonderful. And that's got God's blessing on the children and the whole congregation as we come together. I begin with some words from the prophet Isaiah. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. At Christmas, we celebrated Christ's coming as a baby. Now we prepare for his coming as a man, to save a fallen race. And we sing our first hymn, is number 326. Jesus comes with all his grace. I believe the young folk are going off to their own studies, so we ask the Lord's blessing on them as they go and learn more about the love of our Lord. And we continue our time of worship with our prayers of adoration. Mighty saving God, you work great wonders to rescue your people. And we rejoice in all that you have done in our lives. When we have been in difficulties and we have brought our concerns to you, you have rescued us and brought us safely through them. You have done more for us than we could ever imagine or hope for. You never let us down. When we see you at work in our lives, we are amazed. You have shown us in our Bibles that you have always rescued your people. Save them in their times of need. We rejoice at the great things that you have done, are doing, and will be doing in our future lives. At that first Passover meal, you prepared your people for a great journey that was to change their lives. You were with them on that journey to their new promised land, guiding them and protecting them on their way. Mighty saving God, we adore you. When your people strayed from your ways, you sent your prophets to show them the way back to you. Finally, you sent John, a gift to his aging parents, to prepare the way for the coming of your son Jesus, who you have given to us to be our saviour, the rescuer of your people of every land and race who put their trust in him. He rescues us from our ignorance, by revealing what you are like. He rescues us from fear by rising triumphant over death. He rescues us from our sins by meeting repentance with forgiveness. He rescues us from loneliness by offering the constant attendance of his friendship. Mighty saving God, give us your Spirit to open our eyes so that we may see your glory. For you are wonderful beyond our imagining, and we have come here this morning to worship and adore you. And we do our worshiping by saying together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, ever and ever. Amen. The first scripture reading for this morning comes from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6.
What are we to say then? Shall we persist in sin so that there may be all the more grace? No, no, we died to sin. How can we live it in it any longer? Have you forgotten that when we were baptized into union with Christ, we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, and laid dead, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead in the splendor of the Father, so also we might set our feet upon the new path of life. For if we have become incorporate with him in a death like this, we shall also be one with him in a resurrection like his. We know that the man we once were has been crucified with Christ for the destruction of the sinful self, so that we may no longer be the slaves of sin, since a dead man is no longer answerable for his sin. But if we thus died with Christ, we believe that we shall also come to life with him. We know that Christ, once raised from the dead, is never to die again. He is no longer under the dominion of death. For in dying as he died to sin once for all, and in living as he lives to God. In the same way, you must regard yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in union with Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. And the gospel reading appointed for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. John said to the crowds coming out of to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man who has two tunics should share it with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. the tax collectors who came to be baptized, asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" "Do not collect any more than you are required to do so," he told them. Then some soldiers asked, "And what should we do?" John replied, "Do not extort money, and don't accuse them people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering within their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. But John answered them, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Amen. We ask a blessing on our Lord from a reading from his Holy Scripture this morning. Both John and Paul warned the people of the dangers of their sinfulness. Although it's never our intention to be sinful, it's all too easy to fall away and stray from the path that our Lord sets us before us. So let's come before our Lord in prayer, seeking his promised forgiveness for those times that we may have fell by the wayside. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice that through the baptism of your Son Jesus, you have called us to a new life with you, with new beginnings, assuring us that the old one can be put away. We confess the need to be continually renewed by your Holy Spirit. For there have been times when we have been concerned with our own selfish desires, that we fail to notice the concerns of others. We ask that you forgive us for our role in neglecting to look after our planet, when we have bought food and clothing without considering how they may have been produced. We ask your forgiveness for any times that our actions, others may have been hurt, and help us to be forgiving to those who have hurt us. Forgive us, Father, for the times when we have tried to do things in our own strength and have not come to you first for your guidance. And forgive us for not recognizing all that you have done in our lives and we have not been thankful for you and to not given you the recognition and the praise that you are worthy of. We never intend to be sinful, loving Father, but in our human nature, we are weak. Forgive us for all that is wrong in our lives. Fill us, we pray, with your strength, that we may live our lives as you have called us to. For we ask us in the name of your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who promises us when we come to you in forgiveness, your words of grace, our sins are forgiven and forgotten, will be given to us. Thanks be to you, Almighty Heavenly Father. Amen. We sing our next hymn, recognizing that time when Jesus came to be baptized by John in the Jordan, 233, when Jesus came to Jordan to be baptized by John. The decorations have all been stored away for yet another year, and all the turkey has at last been eaten. Was it worth all the hassle and the worry that this pre-Christmas season often brings? The fears that something might go wrong, that everything might not go according to plan. All the anxieties that we had in planning and preparing for the festive Christmas season now seem to be long forgotten as we settle down into yet another year, wondering what it has in store for us. Will we ever be free from the restrictions imposed upon us from COVID? I wonder. The holiday period is now over, and our lives are reverting back to a somewhat disrupted way of life that we lived before. In the end, after all the weeks of preparation and hassle and wondering what new and usual gifts to buy for family and friends, it all seems to go about all so quickly, and it's all too soon, just a distant memory. The changes that we may have made were not long-lasting changes to our lives. They were not permanent. Having said that, a lot of what we do in life is to spend time in being prepared. Our time at school was spent preparing us for adulthood. Then it's off to college or university, or in my case, 5 years of an apprenticeship. That were not a happy time in my life. I didn't make the grade of being a metal worker, but I was transferred into the offices. But the time watching the machines being made helped me to build up for my job in spare part sales. And Jesus spent nearly 20 years from his childhood in preparing for his 3 years of ministry, living in Nazareth, which lay in the hollow of the hills that were to the south of Galilee. He grew up in stature and maturity from childhood, through to being a skilled craftsman and working in his earthly father's carpenter's shop. As a youngster, he would be able to climb the hills around Nazareth and see for miles around. At one point, in the far distance to the west, would be the blue waters of a great sea, what we now call the Mediterranean, with all its ships sailing to the out with their cargoes to the outer limits of the Roman Empire. As you look around, you'll be able to watch the farmers ploughing their land, then sowing seed, and at harvest time, you'd watch them gathering their crops. He would be able to see people working in vineyards. At the foot of the hills, crossing the plains that skirted the coastline, was the road from Damascus to Egypt and the continent of Africa far beyond. This was known as the Way of the South. It was a main trade route and one of the busiest caravan routes of the then known world. Along it, over centuries, traders would have, with many different nations and many different commodities, would have travelled along it in both directions. It may well have been used by his teachers as a visual aid to help him and the other pupils in their history lessons, as it would have been used as one of the roads that would have been travelled by Abraham and Jacob and many other of the patriarchs before him. To the northeast lay an east-west trade route between India and the coast. Nazareth was not a little backwater town. It lay near the junction of these two great trade routes. Jesus would have met people from all sorts of backgrounds as he worked in his carpenter's shop. And he would hear a different range of languages, the Latin of the Roman soldiers, and Greek, a language of commerce that was used mainly in throughout the world, known world at the time. And then there'd be the languages of all the different traders and travellers that would be coming past. These early years in Nazareth were spent by Jesus preparing his way that is for the work that his Heavenly Father was setting out for him. Work that would have come to change his life. During this time, Jesus was waiting for the sign, for the time to start this new ministerial life that he knew he was going to have to do. The sign would come when word of a new prophet living in the Judean wilderness would arrive in Galilee. This prophet became known as John the Baptizer. He lived as a recluse in the Jordan Valley. His mission was to prepare the way for the Lord, for the coming Messiah, to make people aware of the sinful lives that they were living and the need for them to seek forgiveness and to change their lifestyles. He encouraged people to prepare themselves for a new and better future, to change their lives, to be baptized, getting rid of the old life and starting a new rebirth of a new life, a life that was not going to be a temporary one, but a permanent one. This was a sign that Jesus was waiting for, and God's hour had struck. The sign that Jesus expected had come. All the preparations had been completed. All the time that Jesus had spent in the workshop making yokes and other essential items out of wood, all the time he spent watching other people working and children playing, were to be remembered and used later in his ministry. The waiting time had come, and John was using his ministry and the Judean desert. John, who had been a gift to his aged parents, was being used by our Lord. It's time for Jesus to look to the future and make important changes in his life. At the time he set out, journeying south through the wilderness to the banks of the River Jordan to be baptized by John, the new prophet there, and to be given the affirmation from God his Heavenly Father that he'd been waiting for, confirming what Jesus had already knew, but the work that was lay ahead of him. At the start of another year, what are you preparing for? For some people, this could be the next holiday, looking through brochures, deciding where and when to go, checking the availability, and nowadays checking on what restrictions there may be before making any commitments and paying any deposits. For myself, I've gone away for a weekend in April to Bassenfeld Manor with other members of congregation at Haddon Millbourne. And when I was away for New Year at a Christian establishment in Scargill House in the Yorkshire Dales, and I've booked for a music week in the end of July and August, where I'll be learning a Christian musical. One thing though, I will not be singing. The first thing that Roger, the hierarchy of the Christian music ministry, says, the music director, as soon as he says, after he's greeted me, he says to me, "I don't want you singing." One thing I have not been blessed with is a singing voice. But I do like doing the narrations. I've been to Geordie Barnabas a couple of times, and Geordie Pharisee, so, and he doesn't mind that. I like doing the narrations, but unfortunately, singing is just something I'm not known for. But some people may be preparing for a new job. Other people may be preparing for retirement. All things that need preparation, we need to be prepared. Some may be preparing for the arrival of a new child, whether their own or their grandchild. There's always something that we seem to be preparing for. At testing times, there can be some things we are not being prepared for. We are living through difficult times at the moment. Quite often, preparation can take longer than the task that we are preparing for. Jesus' preparation for his time of ministry took him from being childhood in the temple right up to his being about 30 years old. About 20 years. Then when the time was right, as I said, Jesus arrived at the banks of the River Jordan to be baptized, the start of his ministry, changing people's lives. This must have been one of the foremost days in Jesus' lives, the start of his new beginnings. From his intense divine experience that had prepare them for this time in the River Jordan, give you an unmistakable burning conviction that was to dominate his life. God was clearly working in John's ministry, and Jesus had identified with it. By sharing his and submitting himself to being baptized, Jesus himself was opened up to God his Father's presence. As we read, as he came out from the river, water streaming down his face, muffling the voices of the crowds on the riverbank, one clear voice and steady voice filled his head and his heart. His Father God had declared, "You are my Son, whom I love, and you I am well pleased." What a breathtaking experience to be part of. For years in his humanity, Jesus had a growing awareness of who he was and waiting for the special work that he was preparing for. The special anointing that Jesus received that day may seem to be exceeding anything but in his humanity he had dreamed of. Many people had called God Father before, but here God had singled out and spoke directly to Jesus, calling him his Son. In our epistle reading, we are told how Paul wrote of a new Christian convert in Rome, emphasizing the dangers of continually living a life of sin. They'd got it wrong. They thought that the more they sinned, the more grace they would receive. They didn't understand that on entering a Christian life, they were committing themselves to a new and different kind of life. When they were baptized, their old life had died. It was washed away. They were reborn into a new life with Christ. They now had a new life to live in his way. The teaching that they received should have prepared them for best changes, but they lapsed back into their old ways. One of the most significant changes that took place in my young childhood Christian journey was when I joined the Boy Scout troop and changed the Sunday school that I attended. I remember that the Boy Scout motto was, and still is, "Be prepared." But I have to confess, I've not always lived up to that motto. I'm often leave things to the last minute, and I'm often distracted. One job we cannot put off and leave to the last minute is to heed John's message and prepare a way in our hearts for our Lord. How can we prepare a way for the Lord, we may ask? How can we make a way for the Lord to meet those who we are in need? As Christians in this 21st century, I believe that we are called to be the voices crying in the wilderness of a time of sinfulness. I believe that Christ often calls us to walk a new path. And we may not always see where we are going. And yes, it can be risky at times. And maybe it's even frightening. Walking a new path calls for courage and discernment. We may make mistakes, probably will. I've made many mistakes. There may be misunderstandings. And that's my life. Misunderstood a lot of what people have said to me. No matter how well we prepare, we may not always get it right. I can vouch for that. But I believe that is how we grow in grace. That's how I've grown. Let us pray that we need help in establishing what it is that God wants us to do and helping others and preparing for his kingdom. We pray. Through you, Lord Jesus, you have called us to be chosen ones of God. What a calling. What a challenge. We feel daunted, unworthy, often afraid. So much is expected of us. We ask that you help us to prepare well. May we set about any tasks you set before us with courage. The courage that is only deeply rooted in a relationship with you. Help us, we pray, to feel secure in your love. The love that washes our sins away. Assured that you are guiding our lives and that you will never fail us. This we ask in the name of your Son, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. We continue our time of worship with our prayers of intercession. As is my custom, there will be a time during these prayers to lift to the Lord the concerns in our own hearts, either spoken or unspoken. Loving Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus came down to earth to save your fallen people. Sadly, they did not all listen to you and respond to your word and return to you. We live in a fallen world today, Heavenly Father, where many people hear your word and reject it, saying that it has no meaning in their lives. Others claim to hear your word, but act in different ways to ours. We pray for all those whose lives are being torn apart by political unrest. We pray for those people caught up in sex, where their teaching may not be in accordance to yours. And we pray for those who are persecuted because of their faith in you and your Son, our Lord Jesus. May they be strengthened and comforted by the knowledge of your love for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we pray for those who have heard your word and have responded positively to it. We pray for agencies like Open Doors, Barnabas Fund, Christian Aid, Tradecraft and many others, with people working often at risk of their own lives to bring comfort and support to Christians who are persecuted, oppressed and those in need throughout our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for all those who are suffering from this global COVID pandemic. And we pray for all those whose treatment for other illnesses has been postponed due to this virus. Have compassion, we pray, on those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we pray for those who bring your word to us. We pray for our ministry team, my fellow local preachers and our worship leaders, our junior church, youth organization leaders and all of us who are bringing your word to us. We pray for the volunteers working down at my own church at Leamington with a food bank and a clothes bar, and many of the volunteers working to bring your word to the communities around their own churches and in our circuit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we pray for the work and mission of this church here at Denton Burn, and for the others who use this church, the Grace Foundation Church, who are use these premises, Lord. We pray that they will be blessed and that their ministry will be fed from them. We pray for those who have rules of responsibility in our churches and our circuit, and ask your blessing on them and your guidance in their lives, that they will make decisions according to your will. We pray for the members of our congregation here who are not able to be with us this morning to worship you. We ask you to be with them, Lord, and we bring our concerns, those other items that may be in our hearts, to you, Lord, asking that you will bring blessings to them. Finally, Father, we pray for ourselves. We again give thanks and praise for all that you're doing in our lives, and ask her to reach down to her own deepest point of need, whatever that may be, and fill it with a wonderful healing wholeness that only you can provide for us. These prayers we bring in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. My closing hymn is a declaration that we should all be making at this time of year. Number 341. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. May God the Father, who made the rainbow a sign of his mercy, God the Son, who came to be baptized by John in the Jordan for the sake of the sins of the world, and God the Holy Spirit, who descended like a dove on Christ's head, be with us, to guard, guide and heal us all, for now and forever. Amen.